holiday season is idealized everywhere we look. We're bombarded with these images of the perfect holiday season in magazines from our family members and television and movies, and the messages that the holidays are a special time that demand perfection. Perfect meals, homemade gifts, Christmas cards and letters summarizing a year of growth and success, maintaining one's figure in the midst of tempting holiday foods, and on and on and on. But life doesn't really function that way. And since everyday life makes perfection an impossible goal, it does create some stress. Dr. Mary Doheny, licensed clinical psychologist at the Family Institute at Northwestern University in Chicago, joins us now to talk about the psychological issues surrounding pressures for holiday perfection. Dr. Doheny, welcome to the Roadhouse.
Thank you very much, Dick.
You have written about this idea of striving for perfection during the holidays. Can you explain what you mean by that, and why do you think people do it?
Well, I think it's a particular time of year where mothers especially feel like they have to create this incredibly magical environment for family and friends. But perfection is truly ubiquitous in our culture, the striving for perfection. And, of course, I think it especially afflicts women. We're the ones most often reading the cookbooks and the women's magazines with directions for how to make your own ornaments. We're the ones watching the Food Channel and Martha Stewart. But it is more pervasive than just over the holidays. The foremost scholar on perfectionism is a woman named Brené Brown. And as a recovering perfectionist myself, I committed to memory one of her quotes, which I'd like to share now. And she says that perfectionism is a self-destructive and addictive belief system that fuels this primary thought: if I look perfect and do everything perfectly, I can avoid or minimize the painful feelings of shame, judgment, and blame. And ironically, we feel most love and acceptance, and this is me talking now, not
sure,
Brené, when we unabashedly, I think, show our shortcomings. Life is messy.
So you're saying the opposite is true.
The exact opposite is true. When we show our shortcomings, our fears, our vulnerabilities, when we ask someone to help, we're much more likely to be embraced and feel respected and seen for who we are and loved. I always say to my clients, you know, wasn't Martha Stewart so much more lovable and accessible after she went to jail? You know, before that, she was the person on Thanksgiving putting her turkey in puff pastry.
Unapproachable person.
Absolutely.
Inhuman.
Absolutely, utterly inhuman. But, you know, when she showed her fragility, it's easier to love and respect her. And, you know, I want to make it very clear that you can try to do a good job and do your best, but you have to have self-compassion. God, we all have our shortcomings. We've all burnt the roast. We've all had, you know, pretty ridiculous Christmases where someone has drunk too much, or, you know, someone else can't find the house and gets panicked. Your child gets sick. The tree is knocked over. Ours was knocked over by a new puppy one time. And on another time, and I don't think many people can top this, I had 30 people over for a lovely dinner, and one by one, the three toilets in my house became inoperable. One by one. That's lovely driving to the
gas. I hope
you
had good neighbors.
Oh, yeah, yeah. and a thoughtful gas station.
Well, but our culture tells us just the opposite of this, you know, right? I mean, you're
absolutely,
you're supposed to be. So the culture does put pressure on people, and you're saying it's mostly women, but I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of guys watching those cooking channels too and trying to make that special dinner or whatever.
Absolutely.
And so your counsel is not to get all caught up in that.
Absolutely.
And what happens if you do? What happens to people when they do get caught up?
I think oftentimes we see people really suffering from depression and anxiety and feeling this sense of shame that, well, everyone else can do this, but somehow I can't manage. I am therefore defective. And truly nothing can be further from the truth. This is a very busy season for therapists, because people do get stressed and feel absolutely horrible about themselves when they don't meet all these demands for perfection, without realizing that they are truly unattainable, they are unreachable standards, and they take away from your enjoyment of the season. But you're absolutely right, Dick. Men, too, feel the push to be perfect, to be the perfect host, to be a wonderful father, and also, you know, the completely successful businessman. And you can't do everything.
And the guy who picks out the perfect Christmas tree.
Yes, yes.
Oh, there's a lot of pressure there.
There certainly is. I have to laugh because I've been begging for an artificial tree for years, and my husband insists on an 8 to 10 foot.
Exactly. Well, that's his role. He's supposed to do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's his job. That's
so what can guests do or family members do who kind of detect the overly stressed parent, mother or father or whatever? What can they do to help?
I think they can step up. And, you know, the hostess absolutely can delegate, knowing that people feel more included. People feel more present when they're given a task to do. Yeah, come on into the kitchen and help me clean up, or you mash the potatoes. Tell her to have a glass of wine and sit down and put her feet up. But she has to be willing to do that, too, and being aware that it's the experience. It's not all the decorations. It's, you know, not the perfect gift. Life is messy, and I think when we embrace that, we can also see how hilarious it is.
Sure.
We can bring a sense of humor rather than judgment and blame. And that makes us far more lovable than, you know, the super cook who is really trying to wow all of us and performing and proving that she or he is better than all of the rest of us who have our struggle.
We should be able to blame someone here. I mean, we say our culture, we've just generally referred to our culture setting these standards. Who or what in our culture is responsible for setting this tone of holiday perfection?
I think, you know, truly in books, magazines, television, movies, not the comedies, I love the comedies, you know, the articles we read now about, I was just reading in the New York Times about, I'm sorry, Christmas Eve, Feast of the Seven Fishes, and how the Italians bring out seven dishes of exotic fish. And I'm going, oh, gosh. But I think probably if we look at ourselves as parents and look at how we were raised, you know, this probably begins the first time that a parent rolls his or her eyes at the 1B in a report card of A's. Uh-huh. Or, you know, and inadvertently, not really wanting to convey that message to their kids. But I think we have to look at not only the culture, but the family of origin. You know, mm-hmm. when we applaud, you know, their sports beats and love the Christmas play, et cetera, et cetera. And then children inculcate, you know, I really have to be good. I have to be perfect. I have to be better. And then, you know, I will be loved. And it's a very, very different reality. The more authentic and imperfect we are, actually, the more we're loved.
The more lovable we are, sure. Mm-hmm. We're talking now with Dr. Mary Dehaney, a psychologist at the Family Institute at Northwestern University in Chicago, about the cultural impact or the cultural bombardment we have of images of perfection at the holiday season and how that affects our enjoyment of the holidays, and that it's better to not demand perfection of yourself when we all know it's unattainable. And it's healthier to recognize that, and you're more loved. That's a nice way to put it.
You're actually seen as you are, and you are embraced and loved.
We've all heard so much about how we, you know, you lose sight of what the real meaning of the holiday season is, whether it's Christmas or whatever. Certainly what you're saying is a much healthier outlook. Now, what about, is this truly the most stressful time of the year, generally speaking, from a psychologist's point of view?
It's certainly one of them. It's right up there.
There are life events, I'm sure, that are much more stressful.
There are many life events.
In terms of something that comes around every year on the calendar, this has got to be it, huh?
It's our busy season. Let me put it that way.
Are there geographic differences? Does that make any sense at all?
Well, there are some with seasonal affective disorder. So those of us in the north here are more likely to get depressed. We don't have enough sun. And, you know, the cold can be depressing, too. I don't have to tell you.
Yeah.
Although you have greater beauty up there than we do.
Yeah, we've got a beautiful situation here right now with a lot of fresh snow, and so the woods are great, and the big old Lake Superior out here is steaming away with the cold air, so it's very pretty. But you're absolutely right. I mean, we've got more light deprivation here than most places in the lower 48, at any rate.
Absolutely.
So there are lots of people.
That does affect people significantly.
What other seasonal stresses are there? I mean, besides this perfection idea.
I think that, you know, seasonal affective disorder is a big one. Mm-hmm. I think Christmas and Thanksgiving require us to deal with hurts from the past. Almost all of us get together with what therapists call the family of origin, you know, your siblings, your mom and dad, if they're alive, aunts and uncles. And that can be very, very painful. There's remembrances of past misunderstandings and traumas. And, you know, that can truly up your stress. I think one of the ways to alleviate that is to not expect anything to really change. You know, your sister who's always been envious of you is going to continue to do that. The best thing you can do is let those comments just slide off your back.
Mm-hmm.
The uncle who drinks too much is going to head for the lampshade. The grandma who's completely critical of everything you do is going to continue in that way. Somehow we get our hopes up that our families won't be quite so neurotic in the ways that they've always been. And that's just not going to happen.
Right. So accept things as they are. Accept the things you cannot change. That's about the best advice of all.
Perfect. And I would say to people, remember to stop and play. You know, be present, laugh, joke, dance. You don't have to make yourself absolutely stressed out and exhausted. and everyone will enjoy you more. Now, I think with a lot of people today, exhaustion and, oh, I only sleep 3 hours a night and all of that has become a badge of honor rather than something that we should really look at and say things are out of whack here.
Mm-hmm. So if people can't adjust on their own or remove the stress on their own, where do people turn for help?
Well, psychologists and psychiatric social workers, psychiatrists, we've all certainly dealt with this. Mm-hmm. Your family practitioner, confiding in a spouse or a neighbor, or a dear, dear friend, all of those things can help.
And at what exactly is the Northwestern Family Institute that where you have your offices and where you're working?
The Family Institute is a center for not only treatment of families, but research and development in every area. We also have a clinic for very low-cost psychotherapy, and we also go out to the community to both educate and to provide therapy. And the Institute has been around for over 30 years.
Dr. Doheny, thank you very much for your wise counsel here.
Thank you, Dick, and have a very happy and relaxed Christmas.
Thank you very much. Okay. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.